for answers to the unknown. Welcome to Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix and step into the magical presence of the metaphysical realm. Lisa will share the wisdom and musings from her own experiences, have intriguing conversations with other mediums and healers, in addition to exploring a wide array of topics and teachings on intuitive and mediumship development. Lisa will be taking your calls and inviting your friends and loved ones in the spirit world to share their stories with us. Raise your awareness as you are reunited on the level of love, and let's go live with Medium Lisa Phoenix.
Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. It's a wonderful day in Southern California. Welcome to Live with Lisa Phoenix Radio. I'm Lisa Phoenix, your host, a medium and energy intuitive. My show is all about healing, mediumship, and energy management. And my special guest this morning is Terry Daniel, author, spiritual counselor, and clinical chaplain. We're going to talk about a variety of topics this morning. If you want to share some of your own challenges or ask questions about your own specific journey, please log in and send us messages on my Facebook page. And if you want further information about the Live with Lisa Phoenix radio show, please visit my website at lisaphoenix.net. That's lisaphoenix.net. And I would also love it if you would go to my website and sign up for my Intuitive Insights newsletter, which will also add you to my mailing list. And please like me on Facebook. Now let's talk about Terry. Terry Daniel is an interfaith minister, clinical chaplain, and certified thanatologist. Did I pronounce that correctly, Terry?
Thanatologist,
who assists dying and grieving individuals to discover a more spiritually spacious understanding of death and beyond. Her unique perspective on birth, death, and the journey of the soul helps the dying and the living find meaning and healing through meditative and ritual practices that open a conduit to other dimensions. Her unique form of radical mysticism incorporates elements of Buddhism, shamanism, ancient pagan practices, Gnostic Christianity, and other spiritual traditions to break down limiting beliefs about forgiveness, divine judgment, and negative experience. Terry is the author of 3 books on death and the afterlife: A Swan in Heaven, Conversations Between Two Worlds, Embracing Death, A New Look at Grief, Gratitude and God, and Turning the Corner on Grief Street, How Trauma and Loss Can Transform Us. She is also the founder of the annual Afterlife Awareness Conference. You can reach Terry at afterlifeconference.com. That's afterlifeconference.com, or you can email her at office@afterlifeconference.com. And the phone number is 503-908-8633. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, Lisa. How you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, we have coming up, first and foremost, it's the 6th annual Afterlife Awareness Conference, correct?
Yes, this is our 6th year. We're all kind of amazed that it keeps going, and we hope to keep it going for a long time. It's changed a lot over the years. We move it around to different cities to make it easier for more people to come. Mm-hmm. And this year it's going to be in St. Louis.
Wonderful. And that's May 12th through the 15th, correct?
Yes. And people can go to afterlifeconference.com if they want information. And it's coming up really soon.
Yes. And you have some wonderful people I see coming this year. Not that you don't other years, but you have a lot of wonderful people on the online.
Yeah. And Lisa, I guess that's how you and I must have connected, through our friends, other mediums, Hollister Rand, and I think you mentioned Austin Wells.
Right.
Both of them have been with us a couple of times. Suzanne Northrup, I think this will be her 5th year with us. And she is, we call her our medium in residence. So we have a lot of wonderful mediums. We had John Holland last year. This year we have Thomas John and Jack Mario. It's so interesting how all these male mediums have two first names, except for John Holland.
Yes.
But we have the really great mediums, and we take mediumship really seriously. We actually screen them very carefully and are very picky about who we endorse and recommend. And the ones that we have are the best, and we love them. But in addition to mediumship, of course, we do a lot of other stuff. You know, we work with grief and understanding death and transition and the journey of the soul. And we do that with our resident shamans that we've been working with for many years, who teach how to journey out of the body, mm-hmm. and how to assist a dying person, how to get out of their body. And we have grief counselors and researchers and educators and religious scholars. It's just, it's quite a party.
Yes, it's very amazing. And I love the fact that, you know, you have a section for the scientific research. I think that's very needed.
Yeah, a lot of people like that. You know, we want to have something for everybody. We don't want to just have a psychic fair or a woo-woo conference.
Right.
Or a grief conference, you know, so we've got it divided up into these little chunks, so that whatever aspect of death and the afterlife somebody is interested in, there will be something for them.
So, Terry, can you tell me a little bit how this conference came about?
Your listeners will love this. So, in my personal story, my 16-year-old son died 9 years ago. And I personally had always been a mystic and an intuitive, and I had very detailed conversations with him from across dimensions, and wrote a book with him, and all my books are really written with him, because he's
right.
he's always there, you know, working with me. But there is a national organization for bereaved parents, and they have a big conference every year. And when my book came out about my communication with my son, their conference was coming to my city, and I said, "Oh, I'd like to be a speaker," and they said, "Absolutely not. We don't allow any presentations about talking to dead people, because we think it's religious and it's too spiritual and it will offend people and it's too weird for our audience," whatever their reasons were. And I was flabbergasted, because here I was, a parent who'd had a child die, and I was going to be, I could have taught people how to open up to receive these messages, but the organization wouldn't hear of it. So I decided to start my own conference. That
wow.
is exactly how it happened.
No, I think that's wonderful. And you've expanded out. You also do conscious grieving, and you have a new workshop that you're doing.
Oh, yes. The conscious grieving piece is really important. A couple of years ago, I started this. And over these years, since the Afterlife Conference started, I've actually been in school. I've gone back to school to get degrees in counseling and theology and all this stuff. And along the way, I also studied shamanism with some of the people who became our shamans for the conference, and learned a lot about ritual. Mm-hmm. And learned that for coping with grief in Western culture, the tools that we have, grief counseling, grief groups, are very good for certain things. They're great for creating a sense of community, for sharing your story and being heard, which is very important when you're suffering.
Yes.
And, you know, to have an opportunity to talk about your grief experience in a supportive environment. But it stops there. Traditional counseling tools do not really address the deep inner work that has to happen in order to heal. That has to be done, in my opinion, on a mystical and spiritual plane. The
gotcha.
Deep internal work. And so we do that in shamanism through ritual. And so the conscious grieving workshops, which are sometimes 2 hours long and sometimes a whole day, sometimes even a weekend, is a process of group ceremonies and rituals that you do processes that represent moving your pain from point A to point B. Because most people with grief, it's stuck in your heart chakra. You're just collapsed at the chest. And through different kinds of body work and ritual practices, there's some art therapy, there's all kinds of stuff we do throughout the day. We open up that stuckness and move that pain.
Gotcha. Because you say on there that pain is not, if it's not, that's not transformed, will be transmitted.
Exactly.
And I think, can you share with us a little, in a couple minutes, we're going to go to commercial break, but can you share with us a little that whole process of shifting and that pain helps us shift?
Yeah. Now, it was Richard Rohr that said pain that is not transformed is transmitted. And you can see in any grieving person, what tends to happen is they're focused on the external event, i.e. someone died, rather than focusing on the internal transformation that happens as a result of that event. And I'm sure you see this all the time as a medium, how people are just focused on the event. So what we do with ritual is, first, we create a space where they can feel the pain and honor the event. We do a little process called drawing your grief landscape, and we have them draw a picture of whatever image they have in their mind of their loss. And then after the pictures are drawn, we put them on a table, which is like an altar.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this with very heart-opening music, and people bring their sacred objects that remind them of the lost person, you know, their wedding ring or a picture or whatever. And we build this altar with these drawings and these objects, and it's just very beautiful. I mean, everybody is sobbing. And so in that step, we honor the pain. We say, yes, we recognize this pain. We have this pain. We give it a place of honor.
That's wonderful. Now, we are stepping into commercial break. When we come back, I'd love it if you would continue to talk with our listeners about this.
Absolutely.
Stay tuned. You're listening to Live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Terry Daniel. We'll be right back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgemeer, host of the Inspired Parenting Radio Show, where every week we bring you empowering information from the diverse fields of conscious parenting, education, neuroscience, consciousness, health, and metaphysics to support you in nurturing the best in your children. So if you're interested in understanding what shapes your children's minds, spirits and hearts, join me every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and prepare to be inspired.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
The Conscious Parenting Radio Show provides inspiration and resources for loving, empowering, and respecting your children and yourself. Join me, Timothy, every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time as we consciously explore proven ways of living together in happiness, health, and harmony.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Terry Daniel. So, Terry, we were talking about the first step is to honor your pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the first one. So we build that. It's an altar to our pain and our loss. Then the next step that we do is to transform the pain. And there's other things that we do in between, but
right.
When we go to the second altar, what we do is that we have a big bowl and a basket of rose petals and some pitchers of water. And each person walks up, takes some rose petals in their hand and breathes or cries or sings or blows into the rose petals their prayers for healing. And then you put the rose petal in the bowl and you pour a little water over it. And so each person does this one by one until we have this giant bowl full of rose petals floating in water that contain all the prayers and all the intentions for healing of each person. So wow. In that step, we've moved from focusing on the loss to focusing on healing. Now, there are other things along the way, but ultimately, what we end up doing in the end is we take the bowl of rose petals and water, and we do a little processional in a line out of the building to the outdoors, and we pour it into the earth at the root of a tree, if we have a tree, and we do a little prayer and chant in a circle, and in doing that, we release all those intentions into the earth where they can grow into something new. So it's all symbolic, obviously. It's all symbolic language and symbolic actions to represent movement of the pain from point A to point B. And that's something you never get in counseling and therapy.
Right, exactly. Now, I know sometimes when people are in the grieving process, there's a lot of them have kind of shut down somewhat. You know, is there a process to kind of reopen so that they can get to where they need to go?
Yes, there are a lot of processes for that.
Gotcha.
And, basically, what happens in this workshop is just by being in that space with everybody, people just reopen anyway.
Gotcha.
The drawing of the picture is certainly a reopening process.
Mm-hmm.
And we also open the workshop with a mantra that we sing all together, which raises the frequency in the room. Sometimes we'll open sacred space by calling in the four directions. So there's
right.
a lot of little spiritual practices that we do to create a sense of safety in the room and protection
mm-hmm.
and love and trust and group connection. So there's all kinds of ways to do it. But yes, people do open up. Now, every once in a while, people don't. I did one of these workshops in Los Angeles last week. And right after the drawing process, a woman left.
Mm.
Because she couldn't go there. And that's fine. You know, this isn't for everybody. This
right.
is not something I'd recommend for the newly bereaved. This is really better when you're about a year into your journey. You know,
gotcha.
And it's also for people who understand mysticism and spirituality. It's not for your average Joe, you know.
Right. No, I totally understand. So, Terry, let me ask you, what would you suggest for the people that are just starting their journey in grief, you know, for the newly bereaved?
I would suggest, and it's kind of hard to give a blanket suggestion because everybody has a different spiritual view. So
right.
that's a tough one. And so
okay.
my first caveat would be it depends on where you are spiritually.
Gotcha.
I would say one thing to one person and another thing to another person. So I can't give a blanket answer to that. But if you are spiritually open-minded and interested in exploring the metaphysical aspects of death and loss, then I would suggest some books to read about the afterlife. I would suggest, you know, thinking about the fact that your person who died is not really gone. And one way to do that is, of course, to go to a medium. to a different kind of person who isn't able to think at that level, mm-hmm. I would suggest joining a grief group where they can meet other people having a similar experience and have a sense of community. I might suggest grief counseling. Most people don't know this, but hospices offer grief support groups to anybody in the community. You don't have to have been one of their hospice clients.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so anybody can call a hospice and find a grief group to go to for free.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's yeah. wonderful. Now, you are teaching, or you're doing this workshop at the conference itself, correct?
Yes, I'm going to be doing a short version of the grief workshop at the Afterlife Conference in St. Louis, and I'm going to be teaching it with my friend Linda Fitch, who is one of our shamans. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about teaching with her. I've not done that before, and I've always wanted to. So that's going to be great. That's going to be one of the several optional workshops at the conference, in addition to the general admission where you attend the whole conference.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And then you also do this workshop outside, right? You do it like several times a year, or...
Yeah, I do it several times a year. I do it wherever I can. You know, I'll probably do one here in Portland where I live probably this summer. And then I'm doing one in Chicago. It's all of that can be found on that website, which is consciousgrieving.org. And I will take this workshop anywhere that anybody wants to have it. One of the things I'd like to do with it, I haven't been able to do this yet, is go to communities where there has been a tragedy, like a mass shooting,
oh, or yes,
an earthquake, and offer it there. And I've tried that a couple of times, but the one community where I tried to offer it, it was a little too out there for them.
I understand.
So, you know, I'm always looking. I mean, I am a chaplain, and I am certified in thanatology and death, dying, and bereavement, and I do have a master's in pastoral care. So I'm real qualified on the mainstream side of it.
Right.
To do this. But trying to explain this grief workshop to, you know, a therapy group or a hospital or a church is pretty difficult.
Right.
So I'm
right.
trying to figure out how to package it for the mainstream so that I can get into those communities where those tragedies. I mean, I've been thinking about going down to where the shootings were in Oregon last October.
Uh-huh.
And a year after the event, doing this grief ritual. And I've contacted a few people out there, but I haven't gotten too far yet. So if any of you listening have any ideas where this might go well, please let me know.
Yes, no, I think it would be wonderful to kind of be in those community, because it's kind of the same thing. Everybody gets together right at that time.
Yes.
But then after some time passes, do you know what I mean? People kind of end up being on their own sometimes, you know?
That's really true. And they need to, and they do commemorate, you know, like a year after
right.
the shooting, there are all kinds of commemorations. All the churches get together and they do whatever they do in their tradition, and there's always something. But there's not usually anything for mystics. You know,
right.
a lot of us don't want to go to a mass at a church. You know, we might want something a little deeper than a candle lighting on the courthouse steps. You know,
yes.
all of that stuff is all great. That's all ritual and that's all wonderful. But some people might want to go a little bit deeper than that.
Right, to really get to the core of that healing, because
yes.
I think that camaraderie is great when people come together like that. But as you said, when we first started on the show, I think there's a point where it stops, you know, and then what's next?
Yes, that's really true. There is a point where it stops, and then what's next, you know? And they're very small steps. I mean, getting together with your community and doing a candle lighting on the scene of the shooting is really powerful.
Yes.
And it depends on who facilitates that. How is that going to be facilitated? Are people going to get up and make speeches and tell their stories about the person they lost? Is a priest going to come up and say a prayer? What are you actually going to offer? And really, all of those things are helpful.
They yes.
really are. And I'm not putting that down in any way.
No.
But for some people, they would rather be, you know, in an intimate group of 12 doing art therapy and movement and breath and body work and ceremony for 6 hours.
You know? Yes.
So that's what I am trying to offer.
Exactly. Now, we are going to be going to another commercial break in a couple minutes, but I would love it if you could share your perspective on like how grief can be viewed as a gift.
Sure.
But you can start, and then they're going to cut us off.
Okay, that's fine. Absolutely. Do you take callers on this show, Lisa?
No, not on this show. I'm more than happy if I do have another show that you're welcome to come on, and we do take okay. calls. But this show, no, they don't have that module in place yet.
Okay.
So,
So yeah, we can talk about grief as a gift, you know, as a journey to awakening. And I have a book that came out last year called Turning the Corner on Grief Street,
yes.
which is all about that. And I can tell you when we come back from the break how I came up with that title and what that is. And that website is
griefstreet.com. Griefstreet.com for everybody. And I do see here that you have a lot of stuff at your conference for bereavement and end of life care and stuff like that. And I think it's really important, you know.
Yeah, it is important. And especially, you know, in my age group, I don't know how old you are. You look younger than me from your picture.
I'll tell you, that's kind of the miracle picture, I believe.
Yes, we all have the miracle picture, don't we?
Here we go. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Terry Daniel. Right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on The Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go. Yeah!
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Terry Daniel. And Terry, you were going to share with us a little bit your perspective in which grief can be viewed as a gift of growth. And I think that it's hard for people to view it like that sometimes.
Absolutely. And again, you know, I wouldn't say that to somebody who comes to me and tells me that their 9-year-old child was just run over by a car last week.
You know, of course.
So, you know, part of doing this kind of work is being trained in how to have what is called a pastoral conversation. This is why I went through training as a chaplain, you know, to be able to learn how to sense what a person will be open to and how to say things in a non-threatening, non-challenging way. So,
I actually think that's really important too, because I know some people are, I mean, there's like a big thing, like just kind of taking an online course in grief counseling and then all of a sudden they're a grief counselor, you know?
Don't even get me started on that.
But I just think it's really important if you want to pursue this kind of thing to really dive into it, to not just skim the surface, you know?
I'm so glad you said that. And that's going to divert our conversation for a minute.
I know, we can go back. When you said that, I was like, ooh, a breath of fresh air. You know,
yeah.
I hear a lot of people, especially in mediumship too, they like take a course and they think that, so go for it.
Well, that's, and I run into this all the time at the Afterlife Conference. You know, I have people contacting me saying, I'm a life coach. I'm a shaman. I'm a grief coach. And I go back to them and say, how did you become a life coach? How did you become a shaman? And 9 times out of 10, they took an online course or a weekend seminar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I admit, an academic snob, because I've been in school for 7 years and $100,000 in debt getting my degrees, you know. But I have learned so much that I feel like, you know, I've done so many internships at hospices and hospitals and, you know, just all of this stuff. So I really do know what I'm doing. And I've seen someone who's taken, you know, a 1-weekend Reiki course who may know some principles of Reiki, but that doesn't make them a healer and certainly not a counselor.
Right.
And certainly not a grief counselor. And so I see this everywhere. And the same with mediums. You know, I would like in a perfect world for mediums to have training in grief counseling. And some, not many, Austin Wells does, some do. But I've heard people say, oh, mediums are great. Mediums are the new grief counselors.
Ooh.
And I just want to scream and say, no, mediums are not grief counselors. Mediums are mediums. They do a very specific and very important thing.
Right.
But it is not counseling. And a medium can bring your dead person through and, you know, address perhaps some unresolved issues that you have between you and the dead person. And that's all great, but they can't fix your pain.
Exactly. I am in 200% agreement.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've gone with that,
now we did that.
People hear it, you know, let's move on to your perspective as far as...
grief is a gift.
Yeah.
So assuming it's the right person and the right setting to bring up a conversation like that, and that's a big if, what I try to help people see is, you know, that number one, there's nothing punitive in the world. God does not punish people. There's no punishment anywhere in the universe. Assuming the person can wrap their head around that idea, then we can go from there to understanding that everything has a purpose. Everything happens for a reason. Now, some people can't go there. So let's assume, for the sake of argument, that we're talking to somebody who can.
Right.
And the way I explain it a lot is that the universe works like a kaleidoscope. Inside this kaleidoscope are all these little pieces that appear to be separate, but they interact with each other, and they're not separate at all. They're all connected within one container. Mm-hmm. And when something happens to that container, the kaleidoscope turns. It's the same as the container of the universe that contains us all as these separate pieces. So one event happens, like an earthquake, and 5,000 people die. The whole container shifts. Not just you and your family, but all the other people who died, all the people around the world are transformed because they heard about the earthquake. The rescue workers are transformed. The news reporters are, talk about it. Everything shifts because of this event. And this happens with every event, a massive earthquake down to, you know, a leaf falls off a tree in Minnesota. It's all exactly the same through the eyes of the universe, and everything's interconnected. So what I try to get people to see is a bigger view, the view from space. Here's the little, the small view, which is just you and your dead person and your sadness because this dead person died. And then if you can back up all the way to Jupiter and look at Earth from that view, you and your dead person are two pieces on the kaleidoscope that are part of a much bigger thing. And if somebody can understand that, then we can begin to look for a deeper meaning in the loss. Your dead person wasn't taken away from you for punishment or for a random reason. There is more turning of the kaleidoscope still yet to happen in your life and in the dead person's existence on another dimension. We're going to continue to acquire experience and contribute to the collective as time goes on. It's not the end of experience, it's the beginning of experience. So I try to help people see, you know, what can we do with this? For example, I cite this example a lot. I had this one client who all four of her children had died over a 25-year period in separate, unrelated events. And she said to me, I thought if I was a good person and I pleased God, that such a thing would never happen to me. But it happened four times. And I just spend my whole life wondering what I did wrong and why God is punishing me and how I can make it right with God. So what this taps into is a whole theological transformation that needs to happen in that thinking in order for her to really heal. If she is going to believe that there's a God in the sky who's mad at her about something and keeps killing her children to punish her, there's not a whole lot I can do with someone like that. But the fact that she came to me was an opening. And I would try to help her open up to other theological and cosmological frameworks within which to see her experience.
Gotcha. And saying that, I noticed because I was reading earlier, you have a bishop at your conference who talks about a lot of that stuff about, you know, and has written books as far as like texts of hate to discover the God of love and stuff like that. So I think that's a big thing for people in just the different religions they've grown up with. You know, and how,
Well, I have Bishop Spong there because I am a huge fan of his work. He is, if you Google him and listen to some of, see some of his YouTube videos, he talks about how the notion of divine punishment was created by the church. It's not even in the Bible. It's completely made up. There is no hell. There's none of that stuff exists.
Right.
And coming from someone like him, it carries a lot of weight.
Yes.
He knows what he's talking about. And when he said yes, when I invited him to the conference, I almost fell out of my chair.
Really?
I never expected him to accept our invitation. And he's really excited about it. And I'm just so thrilled. And I think it's really important that people in the New Age community get familiar with people like him.
I agree.
Our attendance for our conference is down considerably this year. And I think part of it is because there's a picture of an Episcopal bishop in the middle of our Facebook, on our webpage. I think it scares people away. And they think, oh my God, the afterlife conference is becoming Christian? And the answer is no, not even a little. You know, just stop and read and see what we're offering. We need to bring the theology conversation into this. You can't deal with death and dying, and especially in afterlife, without exploring theology. So I want to bring more and more people like that in, but I also know that it's going to scare some people away.
I got you, but I think it's such an important thing because so many people, as you were talking about the woman before, need that the healing of religion, and there is such there's been such an expansion on you know, people looking into the history and stuff of the different religions. I mean, Christianity is a perfect example, you know, and again, it's kind of like I feel in a sense, these things need to all come together and there needs to be an opening and an evolvement, you know?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, that's what oneness and universality is all about. And when you study religion in depth, one of the first things you find out is they're all saying the same thing.
Right. It's all different paths.
It's different paths to the same thing and right. Different language. And the language that is used, you know, is impacted by the time in history when this language was used and the cultural, you know, influences that were going on at the time, the political influences. I mean, if you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament and all the writers who contributed to all that, each book and each section of each book, it was written by somebody else, by different, you know, there were hundreds of writers, and they all came in with their particular agenda on what was going on in their environment, politically, spiritually, socially, historically. That's why the Bible is so incoherent and doesn't make sense, because it's not a continuous book with a beginning, middle, and end, and people don't understand that. If just as an example, if you study how the Bible was compiled, because it wasn't written, it was compiled over hundreds of years, you can't help but rethink the things you were taught in Sunday school.
Exactly.
And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. I have a friend, a neighbor, I gave her one of Bishop Sfong's books recently called, we'll get back to that after this break.
We will be right back. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Terry Daniel. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back, everybody. You're live with Lisa Phoenix and my special guest, Terry Daniel. Terry, sorry, we were cut off on there for commercial break. You were talking about how you had given a friend one of Bishop's books.
Yes. So she was a very devout Catholic, and I gave her his book called Why Christianity Must Change or Die. And she gave it back to me a couple of days later, and she said she didn't want to read it because she loves her faith and she doesn't want to be talked out of it. And what I explained to her is what he's talking about is learning, number one, how the Bible came about and how the teachings of Jesus are not really truly known by anybody, and how the church came in and packaged it, etc. And once you know these things, it actually makes your faith better.
Exactly.
And it comes to this thing of, you know, education is the enemy of faith. And people are afraid that if they have education and they learn the truth about all this, that somehow they're going to be robbed of their spiritual faith. But in fact, it is quite the opposite. I mean, when you realize how the Bible was really written, all these people over hundreds of years trying to explain what they think the spirit world is, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and they did it the best way they could with the tools they had and the cultural references they had to work within. And nobody's judging them. It just helps us to learn the history.
Exactly. And I think it actually would expand people's faith because another big thing about it is that it was always like you had to go through an intermediary to kind of reach, you know, up into to God and everything else. And I think it gives people it would become bigger for them because there would be a lot more they could, you know, ask their own questions, find their own answers, and just kind of open up their own thinking.
That's right. And that is exactly what happens. Just for an example, I have a friend who goes to a Bible study group and they read the Bible. And I said to her one day, you know, I'm kind of a biblical scholar. And if you want, I would love to come to your group. And she said, oh, no, the people in my group would hate you. Because I would point out the contradictions that they probably have already noticed, but I can explain how they got in there, you know, and who wrote which thing and why. And I don't know. To me, I think inquiring minds want to know, but some minds do not want to know.
Yeah, that is true. It's you know, the whole change thing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
and a lot of people view change as something being taken away from them.
Yes, that's true. And something is being taken away from them, but it's something that needs to go, you know.
Right.
And this is especially true with grief. So here's what happens with grief. So you're a typical, you know, American Judeo-Christian person, and you grow up, and around, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you start to get your religious education from your family and your culture. And you get this idea of God as a man in the sky who punishes people or whatever you're told as a child. And that's now ingrained in you, and you never think about it again. You never question it. This is most people, not all people. And you just go through your life kind of believing in that God and that idea. And then all of a sudden now you're 59 and your teenage kid commits suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And all the stuff that you learned about God doesn't help at all.
Exactly.
And you think your kid's going to go to hell for suicide, for example, just one possible example. And you have no tools for coping with reality. You're coping with that loss with the mind of a 7-year-old.
Yes.
That's what happens to so many people. And that's why the theology piece is so important.
Yes, I completely agree. Now, I want to shift back here and I want to go back to the conference again, because for those of people who have joined in, they may not have heard you talking about the conference and everything else. And we're getting low on time. So I really kind of want you to just kind of present the whole thing again to everybody.
Sure. So we have this annual conference. This is our sixth year. It's the Afterlife Conference, also called the Death and Afterlife Awareness Conference. And we have incredible speakers, just a quick list of who we've had over the years. Raymond Moody, Eben Alexander, Anita Marjani, John Holland, Suzanne Northrup, Gary Schwartz, who's and Julie Beischel, both of whom are scientists who do research on mediumship. I'm pulling these names out of my head, so I can't remember.
No, no, that's great. Yeah, no, I actually know somebody who was at your conference one of those times, Jeffrey Marks. He also.
Oh, Jeffrey Marks is lovely.
Yeah, on mediumship, too.
Yes, so we have great content and great presenters, and we cover everything from grief to, you know, we have audience readings with mediums, we have grief counselors, we have scientists reporting on research on near-death experience, we have hospice nurses and hospice doctors who talk about end-of-life care and what happens when we die and how to deal with caregiving and grief and the medical system. And we've got the whole thing covered, you know, from A to Z. Everything you've ever wanted to know about death, all under death and spirituality, all under one roof. So we're coming to St. Louis, May 12th through 15th. And the website is afterlifeconference.com.
Okay. And then also, just you went through past guests. Who are some of the highlighted guests that are coming this year?
Good question. Hold on. Let me take a look at the website, because as a matter of fact, at this moment, you can probably hear a phone ringing.
I hear lots of stuff happening in the background.
Can you hear? All right, now you're hearing my voice. Somebody's calling the Afterlife Conference phone line right now. So hopefully they came from your show. So sorry, I apologize for the noise. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Go ahead.
Okay, so who do we have this year? We have Bishop Spong, of course, who we talked about earlier. Pim Van Lommel is a cardiologist who's done years of research on near-death experience. Gary Malkin is a composer who did music that is used in hospices around the world. It's basically music to die by, very spiritual,
wow.
Beautiful stuff.
Wow.
Suzanne Northrup is coming back this year as a medium, but not just as a medium, also as a teacher. She and Austin Wells are both teaching workshops on how to develop your own mediumship skills. William Peters does something called the Shared Crossing Project, which is about when you're sitting with someone who's dying, you can actually experience what they're experiencing and experience a shared crossing. And as a hospice worker, I have had that experience numerous times, and it's unbelievable.
Wonderful.
Oh, and then we have Thomas John, who will be our Sunday.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, Sunday morning audience readings. Have you interviewed him, Lisa, or talked to him?
I have not, but I know of him. I know of him, and I've had several friends interview him, and I hear he's just absolutely fantastic.
He is. He's great, and we're really thrilled to have him. So he'll be doing the Sunday morning audience readings. And I think he's all the mediums, actually, or Austin, Suzanne, and Thomas are all doing small groups. And when they do a small group, it's limited to 8 or 10 people, and every person in the group is guaranteed a message.
Oh, perfect.
From someone on the other side.
That's wonderful. And again, can you tell us about the workshop that you are going to be?
Yeah, so I'll be doing my Grief as a Mystical Journey workshop. And if you go to the conference website, afterlifeconference.com, you'll see all this information. And so I'll be doing the Grief as a Mystical Journey workshop. We also have workshops on, we have one that I just love from Jeff Black, who's one of my favorite people. It's called Shamanism and Psychiatry. He's a psychiatrist and a shaman.
Wow.
And he works with traumatized war veterans who have PTSD and uses shamanic practices to help them unhook from their traumatic imagery and things that keep them from healing. So we find some really incredible practitioners, you know.
That sounds really intriguing.
Yeah.
It really does. It sounds quite amazing. So again, it is May 12th through 15th in St. Louis this year. And as you said earlier, you travel around to different cities to make it easier for people.
Yes, we're going to be in Portland, Oregon in 2017. And in the past, we've been in Virginia Beach, Arizona, and both Portland and St. Louis once before. So this will be our second time in both of those cities.
Maybe someday you'll hit L.A.
Well, you know.
Or California.
Well, we kind of do it East Coast, West Coast.
Gotcha.
And I would rather be in Portland than L.A. for the West Coast because I live in Portland.
Right.
So it's, you know, once every 3 years, I get to have it in my own backyard.
Exactly. Well, Terry, I want to thank you so much for being on the show this morning. And thanks for helping all of us expand our awareness a little bit more today.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
It's been a pleasure. As I mentioned earlier, to all of you out there in Radio Land, please visit Terry's website at afterlifeconference.com. And the email is office@afterlifeconference.com. And again, the phone number is 503-908-8633. And I really want to encourage you guys to go check this conference out. I think it will just be mind-blowing for you. I want to once again thank all of your listeners out there for hanging out with us this morning. If you want further information about the Live with Lisa Phoenix radio show, please visit my website, lisaphoenix.net. I would love it if you would go to my website once again and sign up for my Intuitive Insights newsletter, which will also add you to my mailing list. And please like me on Facebook. Live with Lisa Phoenix is on every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is 10 a.m. Pacific Time. So please tune back in with us next week. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.